Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Look up locker room leader in the dictionary and you'll find a picture of a scowling Undertaker looking right back at you. The respect afforded to Big Evil behind the scenes is of mythic proportions, with wrestlers past and present falling over themselves in gushing praise of the dead man. The Undertaker has been a major presence in the wider WWE world since 1990, so even contemplating the possibility of nobody pissing him off in that time is enough to draw stifled laughter. This is pro wrestling, a hyper-intense world of macho personalities and alpha males, each trying to piss on as many trees as possible. The problem that a lot of performers in WWE have had is that they forgot that all the trees belong to The Undertaker. I'm Gareth from What Culture Wrestling, and here are 10 wrestlers who suffered heat from The Undertaker. Number 10, Big Show. The early days of the Attitude Era were all about major names jumping from WWE to WCW. But by early 1999, the tide had well and truly turned. Superstars were starting to move in the other direction, and one of the first big-time players to head to the Vince McMahon-captained promised land was the man who eventually became the Big Show, Paul White. Billed as the Giant in WCW, Show won the WCW World Heavyweight Championship in his first match, albeit in a real schmoz of a disqualification finish. Booking nonsense aside though, it was clear that the Giant was a once-in-a-lifetime prospect. A humongous man with incredible athleticism and obvious ability to function as a babyface or a heel. What does all this have to do with The Undertaker though? When the Big Show made the jump, he did so with a chip on his shoulder. The star allowed all of the attention to go to his head and acted like the proverbial dog's you know what, talking down to other wrestlers and generally showing off. Taker was not gonna stand for this, and Show was eventually brought down to size by the Phenom. Number 8, King Mabel. While a lot of backstage heat seems to come from seemingly trivial incidents, very large man breaks big star's face with sloppy leg drop seems like a legitimately good reason for irritation. The sloppy leg drop in question was delivered by none other than Mabel, or King Mabel at the time, and it led to a broken orbital bone for everyone's favorite zombie mortician. The monster push that Mabel received in 1995 didn't look good at the time, but it has aged particularly poorly. WWE was creatively circling the drain, with Diesel's record-breaking WWF Championship run doing little for the company as Big Sexy lurched from one challenger to the next. For some unknown reason, Mabel was given the rub of winning the King of the Ring tournament, and subsequently challenging for the title at SummerSlam. A feud with Taker followed, a rivalry that began with the aforementioned botched leg drop and broken orbital bone. Injuring your colleagues is always a bad idea, but injuring The Undertaker is insanity, and Mabel was soon out the door, supposedly at the behest of Taker. Number 8, CM Punk. Suitgate! Yes, the infamous backstage story that may or may not be true, where CM Punk refused to dress like a champion and even had the audacity to talk back to Hall Monitor Calloway, inquiring as to why John Cena didn't have to dress like a champion. This story is another added to the long list of tales where CM Punk got punished for being an ordinary human being in a most unordinary world. Cast your minds back to 2009, and CM Punk was finally gaining some momentum as a became main event heel, bringing a slightly toned-down version of his straight-edge savior gimmick to the WWE. Punk was a long way from established, though, and maybe treading a little more carefully backstage would have helped. Instead, the disagreement on suits happened, and Punk soon dropped the title to Undertaker in a pay-per-view curtain jerker. CM Punk and Undertaker did go on to have a great match at WrestleMania 29, although that feud also wasn't without its rumors of heat and controversy after Punk used the urn of Paul Bearer, who had not long since passed, to taunt the Phenom. Number 7, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was given the creative world upon making his WWE debut in 2002, famously defeating The Undertaker in a series of increasingly brutal battles in 2002 and 2003. How did Brock Lesnar repay this faith? By upping sticks and leaving WWE. Taker was enraged by Lesnar's decision, understandably so. The locker room had bent over backwards to make the young star look like the leader of the next generation, only for Brock to turn his back on the company. Lesnar didn't help his own case by supposedly asking for an Undertaker schedule. Was it this anger that eventually led to the famous confrontation between the two at UFC 121? No, that was a work. But the two had a frosty relationship for years. Time heals all wounds, though, or maybe money does. I don't know. Number 6, Chris Jericho. Say it loud and say it proud, Chris Jericho might just be the greatest of all time. Jericho may not have defined a generation like Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, or John Cena, but he has been on top and relevant for more than 20 years, constantly reinventing himself along the way. The star's real breakout came when he jumped from WCW to WWE, escaping a life of mid-card purgatory for, an initial main event push followed by a year of mid-card purgatory. Right. Yes, the Undisputed World Championship soon came, but it wasn't all hunky-dory for Jericho in WWE. He also came with a chip on his shoulder, a chip that Undertaker had no intention of letting fester. Y2J rubbed a lot of stars the wrong way upon arriving in WWE, including our resident patriotic dead biker. The future painmaker didn't do himself any favors by interrupting Taker and cutting a promo describing him as boring. Looking back on those days, boring may have been kind to Taker. But that ain't the way things were done in the WWE locker room. Almost overnight, Jericho found his initial momentum stalled. Big Evil told Jericho that he had more shower time than Y2J had ring time, which had very little to do with keeping clean. Number 5, Matt Hardy. The Undertaker made a career out of spectacular returns, but few touch his 2005 Survivor Series flaming casket piece of magic. Randy Orton had just won a Survivor Series elimination match for SmackDown and was celebrating in the middle of the ring, surrounded by Blue Brand stars. Taker then strolled out of his casket, made his way to the ring, and subsequently smashed everyone in sight, hitting William Regal with a particularly strange-looking tombstone. All fairly humdrum so far, right? Well, go back and watch the segment. Loitering at the back of the SmackDown group is one Matt Hardy. Hardy pays little attention to the celebration, and even less to Taker's return, skulking in the corner before rolling out of the ring and out of harm's way. Hardy was supposed to eat a choke slam from the returning Deadman, but wasn't interested in the bump, believing it made him look weak, and he thus took it upon himself to avoid the attack. Taker was furious and confronted Hardy, asking what sort of example he was setting to the rest of the locker room. Hardy was, and is, no fool, so he wisely chose to silently take his berating, which was probably for the best. Number 4, Cowboy Bob Orton. While wrestling history is littered with preposterous reasons for backstage heat, possibly giving someone hepatitis C is actually a pretty decent one. That was the reality in front of Undertaker following his match against Randy Orton and Father Cowboy Bob at Armageddon 2005. The match was inside Hell in a Cell, and an old-school veteran like the Cowboy wasn't gonna go through a cage match without getting a little color. Nothing wrong with a little blood in a pro wrestling gimmick match, unless the bleeding man in question has hepatitis C, which Bob Orton did. To make matters worse, Taker was also bleeding, and you don't need to be a hematologist to understand that healthy blood and hepatitis blood should not mix. Undertaker was understandably furious. Luckily for all involved, Undertaker did not contract the virus. Unluckily for Cowboy Bob, he was soon out of a job though. Number 3, Diamond Dallas Page. Wrestling's great late bloomer, DDP was one of the few WCW superstars to get over during the almost eternal NWO dominance, becoming an organic organic babyface hero against all the odds. He retained this popularity in the face of dire booking as WCW slid closer to the abyss. And he was also integral to any chances the Invasion storyline had of being a creative and business success. Then the Stalker thing happened. Instead of being brought into WWE as hard-working hero Diamond Dallas Page, the former three-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion was revealed as the individual who had been stalking The Undertaker's wife. It was a pretty wretched way to arrive on the big stage. Also, rumor has it that The Undertaker had issues with all of the WCW guys that came over to WWE. But he seemed to retain special resentment towards DDP. This came from communication issues, and a difference in bumping mentalities. And somehow that ended with DDP being pinned by Taker's wife. Number 2, Vince McMahon. The Undertaker has been a WWE employee since 1990. 30 long years. So it would be all sorts of weird if he hadn't had a falling out or two with Vince McMahon. The intimate relationship between the two was heavily documented on the recent The Last Ride WWE Network special, with Taker stating his deep love and respect for his boss on a host of occasions. With great love, though, comes great heat. The Montreal Screwjob was an industry-defining moment, a make-or-break decision that showed Vince McMahon's ruthless side to the world. It rightly angered the majority of the locker room, many of whom were on the verge of leaving as a result. Being the dictionary definition of locker room leader, Undertaker was understandably at the front of the angry queue. In the immediate aftermath of the mess, Undertaker supposedly stormed to Vince McMahon's office and told his boss to apologize to Hart. Taker and Vince then had a frosty relationship for months afterwards. Although, show me a 30-year-old partnership that is free of tension and I'll show you a fraud. Number 1, Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels himself has admitted that he was pretty impossible in the early years of his career. A man on top of the world with the freedom to do as he pleased and all the talent to get away with it. The stories of heat between HBK and The Undertaker aren't new, they aren't secret, and they aren't hidden. In fact, Taker has gone on record as saying that he wouldn't have urinated on Michaels if he found him on fire. The famous story about Taker taping his fists, Jim Duggan style, and threatening to beat the tar out of HBK if he didn't do the job to Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 14 may or may not be true, but it isn't exactly a stretch to assume it is. You'd be hard-pushed to find two more opposite personalities than The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels in the mid to late 90s. The two created some genuine magic in the ring, but it took the maturity of time and age for them to find decent terms behind the scenes. But at least they got there in the end, eh?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.